Wait a minute. Who you Americans think y'all are? Trying to shame? Trying to regulate? The four-division world champion, two-division undisputed, 2023 fight of the year, pound for pound, 1-2, you can flip it around, a.k.a. the Japanese warrior, the Japanese samurai, Nao Yainoue, to fight in America? Wait a minute, folks. Hey, yo, you talking about King Nao Yainoue. He's a cash cow of the sport of boxing. The money, he's the new money man, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, he's the new money man. Huh? And he's about to fill out, sell out the Tokyo Dome versus Lewis Nettie. He don't got to submit coming to America or try to be ashamed coming to America. Matter of fact, he came to America during the pandemic, during the time when it was real, when a lot of people wasn't out, where it was tough to get fights, when it was tough to get paid for fights. And he still traveled over here to America to fight Jason Maloney and whoop his ass too. Trying to shame now, you ain't no way. Man, this is a world. Hey, yo. Boxing is a world sport. Let's not forget that. And now, you ain't no way is a world champion. A world champion. All right? He could fight wherever he want. He could fight anywhere in the world. But to be honest, he don't got nothing in America. There's nothing in America for him right now. Let's just be honest. People trying to shame now, you know. Man, this man been fighting championship fights for the past 10 years. Do you know that? Do you know that now? Oh, yeah, you know, who have been fighting champion fight after champion fights after championship fights for 10 years? 21 straight fights, championship fights. Matter of fact, I said, now, yeah, you know, Uwe, pound for pound, 1-2. 1-2, you can flip it around because, of course, there's a lot of people that feel like Terrence Book Crawford, the 3-division world champion, 2-division undisputed, is pound for pound number one. But now, yeah, you know, Uwe, for me, in my opinion, he's pound for pound number one. Pound for pound number one. And you know what I sense this energy from certain Americans. There's certain Americans out there that feel like they think that everybody outside of America wants to come to America or wants to be America. Huh? Not everybody is Prince Hakeem from coming to America. Not everybody trying to come over here to America and live in Queens. Ain't nobody trying to work for Mr. McDowell. Ain't nobody coming to America. Not everybody want to come to America and find their Lisa. Huh? Look, I'm American. I love America. Huh? Oh, say, can you see? From those only light. Huh? I love America. I got a tattoo of the American flag on my neck. I'm patriotic. But I also know that there's outside of America. There's a big world out there. Huh? There's people that rather go live in Europe. I know European people that they like America, but they rather raise their family outside of America. A lot of people in Asia, I got homeboys that moved to Tokyo. Huh? And they never want to come back to America. Why do y'all acting like now? Yeah, you know, it's from a third world country. Like he needs to come to America. Like if he's starving out there in the Caribbean, in Haiti or something like that, and be like, I want to come to America, man. I want to be a Sankey Panky. I do whatever it takes. Nah, man. Let me tell you like this. The money is good in America, but the money is great in Japan. Go ask Stephen Fulton, the former unified champion. Go ask now Nonito Donaire, a living legend, a four-division world champion. Go ask him. Go ask him. Go ask Lewis Nettie. Go ask them where the money at. It's in Japan because Naoya Inoue, Tokyo Dome. Isn't that the same dome that Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas? In the end of the day, people got to respect this. You know, in America, and especially in this side of the pond, of course, with Mexico, a lot of people, we feel like, yeah, Canelo Alvarez is the cash cow. He's the cash cow. And a lot of, there's people out there that feel like from this young generation that Gervonta Tan Davis is the cash cow. But Naoya Inoue, he's not only probably the most accomplished fighter right now. I think he had an epic 2023 year. a historic 2023 year. And I believe that this is the reason why I feel like he is pound for pound number one, because in the epic 12 months run that he did had, remember, after he became undisputed after being Paul Butler, he moved up there to be great. Fight undefeated Stephen Fulton, pound for pound fighter. Stephen Fulton was on my pound for pound list. When now he ain't no was about to fight him. So it was two pound for pound fighters going at one another. And he moved up. And he beat up Stephen Fulton, a pillar of the post. And then right after he beat and became undisputed, in 12 months he became two division undisputed in 100 plus years sports of boxing. In 100 plus years sport. To become two division undisputed world champion, especially in the four belt era, because it's hard to get four belts. You know, it ain't that easy to just to capture four belts. Maybe if you beat somebody, you get one belt, two belts back in the days, and you undisputed. But to get four belts, you know, even though that a lot of people don't like that there's so many belts in the sport of boxing, but it's even hard to get all these four belts. I mean, for some people, yeah, they got their role easy. But for Naoya Inoue, that's some historic-ish. And yes, Buck Crawford did it. And yes, if it wasn't for the politics of the sport of boxing, you would have recognized Teofimo Lopez for being the first. That's why I recognize him. I don't give a damn what y'all feel. If I could recognize that the politics in the sport of boxing, I could identify the truth. But of course, the guys that is going to be in the books, that is written, it's going to be Naoya Inoue and Buck Crawford. And I think that Naoya Inoue has done a wonderful job. I think and this is the type of people that you want to be the face of boxing. You know? I don't know sometimes why people want to throw Naoya Inoue to the side when we're talking about the face of boxing. I see a lot of people debating about, oh, if it's still Canelo Alvarez or Gervonta Tan Davis, who's the face of boxing? But why don't y'all put Naoya Inoue in the mix? Naoya Inoue got a country behind him. Naoya Inoue is one of the most accomplished, or probably the most accomplished right now. In the sport of boxing. Now, I'm not going to say that he has the resume of Canelo Alvarez, but let me tell you like this. Now, he ain't no way has a damn well good resume. You feel me? Good and fighting Luis Neri. Going to be fighting. He fought Zapales, like I said, Stephen Fulton. Paul Butler was, you know what I'm saying? I did want it. John Rio Casimiro to keep the belt. And I think that would have been a better fight to become undisputed, being Nonito Donaire than John Rio Casimiro. But then Nonito Donaire, let's not forget that Naoya Inoue was in that Ali tournament as well. You feel me? He beat Jason Maloney, who's a current champion right now. He beat Emmanuel Rodriguez out there in England. So Naoya Inoue have traveled. You feel me? Naoya Inoue fought out here versus Antonio Nieves. So why people... See, the thing, this is what it is, that a lot of people just don't follow the smaller division, and that's what it is. See, there's some people that just, in America, that just started to notice Naoya Inoue probably leading up to the Stephen Fulton fight, or probably they recognized the fight with Nonito Donaire, because, of course, Nonito Donaire in this side of the pond is highly known, of course, around the world, but in America, he's highly known. Living legend. And I know in the sport of boxing, when I speak to people, a lot of people really don't pay attention too much to the smaller division. Unless if you're talking about Chocolatito, Juan Francisco Estrada, and things of that nature. But there's other people that do. Hardcore boxing people do. Shout out to Tanaka. I like Tanaka. Ioka. Ioka's been is in a lot of people's credible pound for pound list. He's been on the run as well. Four division world champion, things of that nature. Huh? Bam Rodriguez is going to be facing Juan Francisco Estrada. Bam Rodriguez is one of the phenom in the sport of boxing. I would have loved to see that fight. Bam Rodriguez, if Naoya Inoue would have stood down in those divisions and things of that nature. Naoya Inoue is doing so much. He is putting everybody out at an easy rate that people already trying to say that he should fight Gervonta Tank Davis. I know sometimes when you see some greatness, some people just want to see greatness get stopped. Or greatness get challenged. Naoya Inoue is just too good. Naoya Inoue is too good. And I think that we need to start speaking of him in the mix of being the cash cow and the face of boxing. And maybe he's giving a guy like Canelo Alvarez a run for his money. Now, let me tell you like this. Yeah, that's going to be a great fight with Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia, because of course you know that the Mexican fan base are one of the most loyal fan base in the sport of boxing, and they were one of the most lucrative fan base in the sport of boxing, and they can see their Mexican warriors go at one another. Everybody gonna be buying the pay-per-view. The people that spend money, they're gonna buy for the pay-per-view. But this Luis Neri fight with Naoya Inoue, and this is like a guy that Naoya Inoue does not like at all. There was a time where Naoya Inoue said that he would never fight that cheater. Feel like he disrespected the sport because, of course, Luis Neri was banned from Japan several years ago. He got his license, and we're going to get the fight. Naoya Inoue is a special fighter. He's probably the closest thing to Manny Pacquiao. Oh, yeah, I said it. Yeah. The 8th Division World Champion, 5-time lineal, 2-time World Champion, the ambassador, the center of the humanitarian, the greatest karaoke singer of them all, the GOAT, Manny Pacquiao. I think he's the closest thing to Manny Pacquiao. Now, if he's going to be, is Naoya Inoue got the qualities to be an 8th Division World Champion? I don't know. 8th Division World Champion is pushing it. That's how special Manny Pacquiao is. I don't believe that nobody else is going to be doing it. But let me say it like this. I think Naoya Inoue is special. But if he said, if he runs through Luis Neri, then moves up to the 126-pound division, and let's say he knocks out the likes of Brandon Figueroa, of Ramirez or something like that, and becomes a 5-division world champion. I think if he does that, at least fight one or two of these guys in the 126-pound division, and let's say end his career at 130, and become a sixth division world champion. 135, maybe pushing it. Maybe he could land at 135. Can you imagine Naoya Inoue versus Vasiliy Lomachenko? Hey, maybe we'll see Gervonta Tan Davis versus Naoya Inoue. I was interviewing Shakur Stevenson. I interviewed Shakur Stevenson, and he's not shying away from that challenge. If that challenge actually comes to the table, if Naoya Inoue does challenge him, that he will want the opportunity to face Naoya Inoue. He won't shy away from it. Shakur Stevenson, you know, a 3-division world champion. Young phenom as well. Got to give a lot of props to these phenoms of this generation. Of course, Naoya Inoue is a little bit older, but got to give a lot of credit to Shakur Stevenson, 3-division world champion. Naoya Inoue, 4-division world champion. Bam Rodriguez, 2-division world champion. Still daring to be great, being Cuadras, Ron Vasade, and that moving back down. Sonny Edwards about to face living legend Juan Francisco Estrada. Got to give a lot of credit to Devin the Dream Haney that's going to be performing April 20th versus Ryan Garcia. A 2-division world champion, undisputed in the 135-pound division. I spoke earlier about Teofimo Lopez. I think the guy that actually started it all, the leader of this generation in legacy, reigning supreme of this young generation. I like what Danny Dubois, even though that Danny Dubois doesn't have a belt, but that's one of the young fighters as well that's out there daring to be great. Yes, he lost to Joe Joyce. But you know what? I do believe that he beat Oleksandr Usyk. I believe that was a legal body shot. But even when I asked Shakur Stevenson about the possibility of facing Naoya Inoue, this is what Shakur Stevenson had to say. Let's be. And we started talking about this during the interview because I was telling him about that Canelo Alvarez and David Benavidez is a great fight, but is you can't shame Canelo Alvarez for not fighting David Benavidez, because in all reality, as much as we want the fight, what does David Benavidez bring to the table for Canelo Alvarez's legacy? So the conversation started like that, and then it led to the to the Naoya in the Uwe. So take a listen to a brief conversation on Shakur Stevenson talking about it led to Naoya in the Uwe, the Naoya in the Uwe potential fight.
Alvarez does beat David Benavidez. If Canelo Alvarez does beat David Benavidez, what does he put on his legacy, on his resume? What is he, you know what I'm saying? I don't think this is a Manny Pacquiao Mayweather. It was icon versus icon, 8-division world champion versus 5-division world champion, the champions that they beat. I don't think this is that type of mega fight in terms of legacy.
So if you don't think that, then you think Humay Bud is that fight?
Legacy, but I just think that weight class, that's too much weight classes. I understand what you're trying to get me, but you ain't getting me there. You ain't getting me. I know you're trying to get me, but you ain't getting me there.
And Bud said he's good with the weight class. He's good with going up.
Hey, yo, you know who is good, but I ain't going to say go fight Shakur Stevenson at 135.
You said who?
Inoue.
But if he says he want to fight me at 35, come on. Why not make it happen?
I
wouldn't mind it.
Man, you the massive favorite on that one.
Because of the odds, but I'm just telling you.
Because of the odds.
If he says that, then, like, what am I knocking it for?
Oh, so you're telling me, you know what it says, I want to fight your cause, the other said.
Let's do it.
Get out of here. Jumping from 100, what he at right now, 122 pounds.
Yep. Yo, he beat Scooter, right? Yeah. Me and Scooter is not that far apart in, like, weight. Like, I done had Scooter come to, like, my gym. Well, I ain't have him, but he done came to, like, my gym in Houston. And I see him, and we're standing next to each other. And we're literally not that far apart. That's mine.
Okay, so Inoue, Shakur Stevenson is accepting, will accept the challenge from Inoue, but Inoue wants that work. Okay. I don't know. See, that's what I mean. He got all the skills in the world. You got all the skills. Y'all both pound for pound, but I'm not going to ask no Inoue, yo, go out there and fight Shakur Stevenson.
I'm just saying, if he say it, then I'm with it.
Is legit? You will find that a legit fight?
Hey, if that's what he said, I mean, shit, why not? If I don't get the credit for it, I don't get the credit for it, but at the end of the day, I ain't going to get the credit for a lot of fights, so fuck it, right?
So, yeah, that was Shakur Stevenson and myself several weeks ago. Dude, we was chopping it up, talking about potential fight with Naoya Inoue. I mean, look, like I said again, and I'm going to keep on saying this, Naoya Inoue is a special fighter. You know, he's one of those guys that can move up like the likes of Floyd Mayweather, who was a 5-division world champion, Oscar De La Hoya, 6-division world champion, Thomas Hearns, 7-division world champion, Roy Jones Jr., 5-division world champion, Canelo Alvarez, 4-division world champion, you know, and I already mentioned about Manny Pacquiao, right? He is that type of special type of fighter, and I think that, you know, he's right now in the peak of his prime right now. Naoya Inoue was kind of irritated about people commenting today about him coming. I'm trying to shame him and him fighting in America and stuff like that. Don't stay out there in Japan like Floyd Mayweather was staying in Las Vegas. Ain't even want to travel. But again, Naoya Inoue did travel. But this is what Naoya Inoue had to say on his Twitter or X, you know, formerly known as Twitter. This is what he had to say. In response to the comments saying he should come to America and play and fight. The home of lightweight division is now here in Japan. If you want to see the game, meaning if you want to see the fight, come to Japan. If there is something better than what is available in the Japanese market in America, I will be happy to go. That's all worth it here in Japan. I'm trying to use Google Translator because, of course, he typed it in his language. But he's basically saying, like, yo, if you want the king, if you want to be an emperor, right, you got to come out here in Japan and fight me and take my titles and take my crown. You feel me? Why do I got to go over there in America first and foremost? Who is the fighter out there in that is like a realistic fight? I ain't talking about the great dare to be great type of fight like Javonta Tan Davis and Shakur Stevenson like I just mentioned, but which American that is going to be like, you know what, as the A side and as the king and as the four division world champion, all that stuff, all the accolades that he got, why does he got to submit coming to America? I'm not saying he doesn't, he can't, but what I'm saying is the money, that's like when people say in America, why people fighting in Vegas? Because the Vegas, they got the casinos, so they're getting paid more money, right? Why are people going to the Middle East, right? With the excellency, right? The heavyweight fighters are going out there getting their bread, you know? Anthony Joshua out there, Tyson Fury going to be facing Alexander Usyk for the Undisputed out there in the Middle East because they're throwing a lot of bread, they're throwing a lot of money. That's where the money is at for the heavyweights, right? Now for the smaller guy, because Naoya Inoue is the cash cow. Japan is where the market is at. Japan is where the market is at. So, he's the one that's setting the tone. He's the one that just like any other cash cow. That pick where they want to fight, pick their opponents and things of that nature. And look, I don't think that Naoya Inoue has started to be this picking of his opponent. I think even if his team is picking these opponents like Lewis Nettie and things of that nature, I think that they're doing a hell of a job. You know, also you got to give credit to his father trainer, right? Shino, I believe that's his name, Shino Inoue. We always talk about that fatherhood is prominent in the sport of boxing, and we're always giving credit and giving flowers to the likes of, you know, the trainer of the year 2020 was Teofimo Lopez Sr. The manager of the year this past year was Bill Haney. You feel me? You see Lomachenko, Papachenko has won trainer of the year couple of times. You know, we could see the father and son. Father trainers, but the father and son collaboration is one of the best collaboration in the sport of boxing. You feel me? So got to give a lot of credit to Shino Inoue. He's done a wonderful job with his son and his other son as well. But of course, Naoya Inoue. I think that whoever wants to get the titles, you know, got to go to Japan. You know, Japan got money. Japan got their fighter, got their living legend. And look, if he's going to be selling out a Tokyo Dome, like, who's the last person to sell out a stadium? I ain't talking about a guy that fought in the stadium. Yeah, we seen Earl the Truth Spence fight in the stadium in Dallas. He ain't sell out. Canelo Alvarez, he didn't sold out that stadium. I believe in what was it? In they say in Mexico he did, but then there was a couple of people that said that he didn't. But let's just say he did, but we're talking about Canelo Alvarez. And that's why. Do you think Javonta Tan Davis could sell out a stadium? I ain't talking about an arena. Could he sell out a stadium with a Lewis Nery? This is all Inoue. This is all Inoue right here. You feel me? So he's a megastar. He's a cash cow of the sport of boxing. And he's arguably now the face. You know? He's arguably almost now the face. You could argue that now with Canelo Alvarez and Naoya Inoue. Because you know what it is? That we're just thinking about this side of the pond. We're not thinking about worldwide. We're not thinking about that he does got a lot of fans out there in the UK and in America. And different parts of Asia, you feel me? So, and in the Middle East, he got a lot of fans all over the world. So, hopefully, he get the respect that he deserved, the respect that he's due. He don't have to come to America. I mean, I would love, as an American, I would love to see to see him in America again. But to be honest, I want to fly out there to Tokyo and see how's the atmosphere for Inoue. That's my experience. I would like to go out there and support him. I think he deserves for people to go even to fly out there. Just like we see the UK fans or other fans from all over the world. They travel to the events that they want to see, right? People travel from different type of states to go to the Super Bowl. People travel when it's the World Cup, right? I got a lot of American friends that went out there to the World Cup. You know, what was it, in Kuwait, something like that, the last time. So I would love to travel out there and see now you're in the UN. But moving on from that, of course, you already know that April 20th, we got 1 week to go. Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. Another guy in the pound for pound list, Devin Haney. They throwing a lot of shots at one another, especially Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia keep on saying that Devin Haney was having a good time at the pool party. Having a good time with the pool party, something like that. So he's saying that P. Diddy has tickled the booty of Devin the Dream Haney. Ew. I ain't want to think about that, folks. That's nasty. I don't want to think about that. He's saying that Diddy, Wet Willie, is playing Wet Willies with Devin the Dream Haney. Now, look, let me say it like this, ladies and gentlemen. You know for a straight dude, one of the allegations that you don't like, one of the rumors, is that you go the other way. That's not. I'm telling you like this, for any straight man, that's one of the worst rumors, one of the worst allegations. Of course, also being a pedo. Pedo is the worst. I mean, pedo is the worst allegation that you could have. You feel me? I'd rather people see me as a killer than a pedo. You know what I'm saying? But is these mind games of Ryan Garcia, these insults, these allegations, is it going to play a part? Is Devin Haney got strength, got thick skin? Is Ryan Garcia going to get Devin Haney out of character? We already know that Devin the Dream Haney got great boxing skills. I mean, he's not a killer in the ring, but he's a guy that's going to outpoint you, that's going to neutralize the good things that the good weapons that his opponent possess. But I don't know. I mean, is he crossing the line? Is Ryan Garcia crossing the line right now? Because of course, yeah, I know that the allegation with P. Diddy of sex trafficking and things of that nature. So, and then we saw a picture of Devin Haney and P. Diddy in a pool party. And you know, everybody that's been around Diddy is being questioned. You know, everybody looking at all these people with a side eye. Everybody that went to the Diddy parties is looking kind of, you know, they're suspects. Well, I'm not, you know what? If you could take it, if you could dish it, you could take it. Because Devin Haney also stated that Ryan Garcia was on cocaine. And that was a little bit unfair as well. Everybody was trying to question if Ryan Garcia was on cocaine. People was questioning if he got mentally ill because Devin Haney said that he was on cocaine. And then Ryan Garcia had to keep on repeatedly saying publicly, I'm not a cocaine, I'm not a drug addict, I don't do cocaine, I'll get tested, right? So I could prove that I'm not no drug addict, that I ain't no David Benavidez, that I ain't no Oscar De La Hoya back in the days when they were doing the sniffity sniffy sniff. Hello? Hey, yo, I saw David Benavidez the other day. And that dude was drunk. And people got so emotional. Yo, but you see a lot of Canelo Alvarez haters be like, yo, but Canelo Alvarez was drunk too. There's videos of Canelo Alvarez that was drunk too. Man, shut up. Ain't nobody talking about Canelo Alvarez. We're talking about David Benavidez. David Benavidez looked drunk. And not only looked drunk, he looked like he had a couple of other substance. And I know why people was mad at David Benavidez, or a little upset or a little disappointed in David Benavidez, because of course he has a history of being unprofessional. And I think that It's not that he was getting it. He was having a good time and he was out with the boys watching his boy fight in Pacheco. And shout out to Diego Pacheco. I think people were just thinking about when he did pop dirty with cocaine and they stripped him from his title. And understanding that those are the reasons why we haven't watched Canelo Alvarez versus David Benavidez, one of the most asked to fight in the sport of boxing. It's because if David Benavidez wasn't an F-up, if he ain't F'd up, if he ain't get stripped for significant cocaine, if he ain't get stripped for missing weight, then Canelo Alvarez would have to go through him so Canelo Alvarez could become an undisputed super middleweight champion. So there's the frustration of watching David Benavidez is like, this is the reason why. Because then the way that you looking, the way that you was drunk, the way that you have substance in your body, allegedly, is the reason why Canelo didn't fight you. You don't, because before you had something that Canelo Alvarez could have wanted, but now you got nothing in terms of legacy. So there's frustration. And then everybody been seeing that David Benavidez has been in training camp. I'm not gonna say that he's like 5 weeks out from a fight, but in the beginning stages of a training camp, people just saw it as him being undisciplined, and I think that, you know, I don't think that he should have apologized though. David Benavidez did apologize. I don't think that David Benavidez should have apologized. That was just my opinion. You know, you was drinking, you drink like everybody else. Everybody got the opportunity to have fun and drink and stuff like that. Why not you? I know you got role models. I'm just looking at, where was his friends? Where were the people around David Benavidez? Like, yo, my man, you, if you was a friend of David Benavidez, you was not supposed to let him do this interview. Huh? Ryan Garcia stated that the zone and the guy that was interviewing him is effed up. Because he should have never interviewed him. The zone should have never done that. But look, everybody's grown, right? And everybody want content. I don't think that it was the responsibility of the zone. It was actually the responsibility of his entourage. If you see that your boy and David Benavidez, he's the celebrity and stuff like that. Real people around him, friends or family, whoever was around David Benavidez wouldn't allow him to do that interview. And would have told the person that was interviewing him not to interview, that he's not in the right state of mind right now. But I don't think that David Benavidez should have apologized. You just got to channel and watch where you at when you're having a good time. You feel me? I think that if he was just having a good time in the club, I think it would have been different because he's out having a good time. But the thing is, he was being interviewed, so he was in a boxing event. And it just didn't look good, right? It didn't look good, but everybody be having a good time, especially in Las Vegas, right? But talking about the fight with David with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, is Devin Haney gonna be out of character? Let me just—I think I'm gonna hit this point. I'm gonna hit this point that I think a lot of people ain't talking about, because. Of course, when it comes to Devin Haney fighting Ryan Garcia, I truly think that they wanted the fight because they wanted the numbers that Javonta Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia got. And if Devin Haney gets those type of numbers versus Ryan Garcia, he can negotiate with Javonta Tan Davis. If he beats Ryan Garcia, there is a way they can negotiate. Whatever, he's the A side, depending on the numbers. Well, there's a lot of people that's reporting that the tickets ain't selling. And a lot of people's also saying that it's not going to do the type of pay-per-view numbers, not even close to what Javonta Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia did in 1.3 million pay-per-view buys. But let me tell you like this. In boxing, the fans ultimately give the fighter the ultimate respect when they exceed the expectations. Whether you're a fan or not of a particular fighter, fans give credit to those fighters that exceed the expectations. Now, is Devin Haney, and I'm just talking about Devin Haney for right now, if Devin Haney, the motive was to fight Ryan Garcia to dictate the negotiations if with a potential fight with him, Javante Tan Davis, if he beat Ryan Garcia, I think that Devin Haney has to do the unexpected. I think both Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney needs to do the unexpected. I'm going to give you an example. I expect Devin Haney to outbox Ryan Garcia. If I'm picking Devin Haney to win, I'm picking Devin Haney that he's going to outbox Ryan Garcia. But see, we're expecting that from Devin Haney. You got to outperform Javante Tan Davis. If you're not going to outperform him, you're going to have to outdo him in the box office, in which I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't feel the energy like the Javante Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia. I don't feel the energy. Maybe there's going to be fight week in New York City. Of course, I'm going to try to be in the loop of things, but I don't think it's given that type of energy like Javante Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia. I don't think a lot of people from the outside, the casuals, talking about it just like they was talking that Javante Tan Davis. But I feel like the Haneys have dictated to wanted to fight Ryan Garcia to dictate the negotiations with Javante Tan Davis, right? If they beat Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney will have to outperform Javante Tan Davis. He will have to fight out of his character if he wants to lure the type of fan base, the type of casual niche fan base that Javante Tan Davis have. Because, of course, not the last thing you remember of Ryan Garcia, but one of the highlights of his career was losing to Javante Tan Davis and getting stopped, and where a lot of people felt like he quit, that he stood on one knee, and things of that nature. You got to outperform. If you can't outdo him in the box office, you got to outperform him. If you outbox Ryan Garcia, then you're just doing something that was expected. And I think that Devin Haney is the favorite anyway. Now, Ryan Garcia, he got to do something that's unexpected. See, Ryan Garcia wins, I believe that he'll win by a stoppage or a KO. A lot of people feel like he got a puncher's chance. I think that he got more than a puncher's chance. I do give Ryan Garcia a lot of credit. You know, him as a skillful fighter, I think that he was a 7 national champion, 7-11 national golden glove champion, something like that. You know, he's beaten the likes of Devin Haney 3 times in the amateur, vice versa. He's beaten the likes of Virgil Ortiz in the amateurs as well. You know, I think that the misconception of Ryan Garcia is that he only got a left hook. I think he does got a right hand. I think he knows how to go to the body. I know that he has some great combinations and things of that nature. His footwork is not quite like Devin Haney, but it's okay footwork. You know what I'm saying? He know how to defend himself. I've seen him check left hook people on the back foot. But he's not a person that set traps like that, but the expectation, the exceeding of the expectations for Ryan Garcia, that's if he outboxes Devin Haney. To exceed the expectations for Devin the Dream Haney is that he knocks out or stop Ryan Garcia, do something that nobody expect him to do. So maybe they're going to trade characteristic. You know? Since they know each other very well, right? They've already fought 6 times. They known each other as kids, as teenagers, as men. They're sparred. They know each other very well. I don't think that nobody knows Devin Haney quite like Ryan. And I don't think nobody knows Ryan Garcia quite like Devin Haney, vice versa, whatever. I think both of them got to do something that's unexpected, since they know each other very, very well. And since they both have won three apiece, you know, you could honestly say it's a 50-50 fight. There's people that be like, yo, but this is the pros. The pros is different. Look, they know each other. It's different from people that don't know one another, right? You got to do something that's unexpected. Let me give you an example, right? We see Teofimo Lopez fight Jermaine Ortiz. Teofimo Lopez beat Jermaine Ortiz in the amateurs. What did Jermaine Ortiz did? Jermaine Ortiz was fighting in a way that was very unexpected for Teofimo Lopez. See, Teofimo Lopez went into the fight very comfortable, thinking that Jermaine Ortiz was going to be fighting like he usually fight all his fights, and like he fought Lomachenko, standing in the middle of the ring, trying to hit to the body and whatever. But he had a whole other game plan. Another game plan that didn't win, but it was the game plan that frustrated Teofimo Lopez. Now, what do Ryan Garcia expect from Devin Haney, right? He expect that he's not going to get, he ain't going to knock out his father, Henry Garcia, feel like Devin Haney's not going to knock out. I mean, they could do whatever they do, but they ain't going to knock us out. They don't got the power. Well, Devin Haney going to have to implement the power. Devin Haney, I think he could set the tone by trying to go after Ryan Garcia. And Ryan Garcia is setting the tone and being patient. Being patient. That's one of the things that he wasn't versus Gervonta Tan Davis. Ryan Garcia got the twitch muscle. He's quick enough. He's smart enough when he wants to be, if he don't rush his work, to actually slow it down. I'm not saying not slow his punches, even though that I would love to see him mix the speed of the punches, not throw everything fast like 100 miles per hour, because if you throw everything 100 miles per hour, what you do with a good hitter? A good hitter hits fastballs, right? So you got to mix those the speed of the punches and the placement punches. I believe that Ryan Garcia does very, very well with placement punches, but I would like him to mix the speed up, you know what I'm saying? Not everything got to be 100 miles per hour. And so Devin Haney, who is a smart defensive fighter as well, is a smart fighter with a high IQ. You don't want to get timed by him, right? So you got to mix the speed and throw good feints like Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia got an underrated feint. Ryan Garcia got an underrated right hand that sets up the left hook. And, you know, he go from the bottom to the top. So you're going to see a great fight. You're going to see a great fight. I think we got to see a little bit of uncharacteristic work by both men. But it's going to be a wonderful fight. The winner, of course, we're talking about the 140-pound division, one of the most prestigious and lucrative division in the sport of boxing. And, of course, these names are always going to be linked to one another because they've been brought up in the same era. You know, Devin Haney is going to be linked to Ryan and Tank and Tio and Shakur and vice versa. Mix and match it, right? So Brian Matias is a little bit older than these cats, you know, but he's a lot of people want to consider him one of the most dangerous at 140. I think that he's been a guy that's least, his resume you can't highlight his resume like that. I think there's a lot of illusion and perception of Brian Matias. I don't think that Brian Matias does beat T.O. nor Devin Haney, but if they don't come 100% and they don't have a good game plan, of course, Super Matias, who he actually does fight like he got nothing to lose, right? He just got the approach like he knows I'm not here to outbox you. I'm here to do my thing, and either you're gonna knock me out or I'm gonna knock you out. You know, that's his mentality. I would love to see a Pitbull Cruz versus Super Matias, Puerto Rican, and Mexican. I was talking about that in the other episode, but I would like to see that fight. But let's say Ryan Garcia does beat Devin the Dream Haney, then I would think that if he beats Devin Haney, then I think he'll get the ultimate benefit of the doubt that the stipulations and the rehydration and the catchweight truly hindered him versus Gervonta Tan Davis. I think people will give him more the benefit of the doubt. And then people would like to see the rematch with Gervonta Tan Davis with a healthy Ryan or you know, a Ryan that is not that is not within the stipulation or things of that nature. If Devin Haney beats Ryan Garcia, then of course I would like to see a potential fight unification bout with the likes of Teofimo Lopez or Subriel Matias, depending on where he's going to go, right? Depending on what Devin Haney, is he going to go back to matchroom boxing to get an easy fight or make it an easy fight with Subriel Matias? Subriel Matias is going to be fighting Liam Paru. Liam Paru has been sparring everybody and doing and giving a lot of people great work in the West Coast, but yet sparring is sparring, a fight is a fight, and, you know, he's been fighting a lot of domestic fighters. I'm not sure if he's going to be prepared for... he's going to be prepared for Subriel Matias. I'm not sure he's going to be prepared to stop Subriel Matias, but I think it's going to be a good fight while it lasts. But the 140-pound division is something that, you know, got to highlight, because I think that these guys are going to be running boxing, in my opinion. You could mix and match this. You could be... They could... make so much money together. I feel like they should induct one another, or their management or promoters shouldn't keep them away from making great fights for the sport of boxing and great money at the same time. But again, we're right now we're looking at the cash cow of the sport, one of the cash cows of the sport of boxing, or arguably the cash cow. And for me, if I had to choose, I'll still probably, of course, still pick Canelo Alvarez because he's been in the limelight. And in high profile fights, and that's just the difference between, you know, Uwe and Canelo. They've all been in legacy fights, but Canelo been in high profile fights. But once you got a country behind you, and you the money guy, and you know, and you're paying your opponent the most that they ever made, that's the cash cow. That's the definition of a cash cow. When you could just give your opponent generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? Then you could just live all free. Easy. The Canelo Alvarez fought Billy Joe Saunders. He never came back. Floyd Mayweather fought Madonna. Yeah, he never came back. He made life-changing money. You know? I'm not going to say that everybody retired, but they living good. You know, Caleb Plant made great money. He don't really got to rush himself. Now he ain't always providing that. Again, I feel like every champion that holds a world title should fight everywhere in the world. You know, like back in the days, Muhammad Ali fought in Africa. You got Mike Tyson fought in Japan a couple of times. Everybody was fighting all over the world. I wish that boxing get back to that. Doesn't necessarily got to be in one place. Even in America, and even like not every fight should be in Vegas. That's why I'm happy about the April 20th fight with Devin the Dream Haney and Ryan Garcia. That is from the West Coast, but they're fighting the East Coast. It should be like that. That's another thing how I like how they move in Javante Tan Davis. And that's why I know that he's a bona fide star and a bona fide ticket seller, because he sells out in New York, sells out in Atlanta, sells out in Cali, sells out in Las Vegas. You know, he's selling out every region from every corner of America. But hopefully, you know what I'm saying, everybody just do right by the sport of boxing. And because the sport of boxing, yeah, sometimes, you know, we could get to the saying that boxing is dead. But, you know, we got to keep the little moral of sport that boxing has left. But can't wait to see Lewis Neri versus Naoya Inoue May 6th, Tokyo. May is gonna be a hell of a week or a month. I'm sorry. We do have the Jaime Munguia versus Canelo Alvarez and Cinco de Mayo. Lewis Neri versus Naoya Inoue. We got the undisputed world championship belt championship fight with Oleksandr Usyk and Tyson Fury. And then we move on to June. And we'll see what we got. What type of fighters. I think Javante Tan Davis and Teofimo Lopez are gonna be fighting in June as well. We got Mike Tyson gonna be fighting Jake Paul. I think that's gonna be in July 20th or June 20th. One of those days. But boxing is alive and well. You know, the business of boxing is doing great as well. So hopefully, I think people need to stop shaming Naoya Inoue and actually appreciate what he's doing, because that's a fighter that we don't even have to marinate fights and beg him to fight somebody. Naoya Inoue and his team is moving to the right direction, and it's getting some great fights, legacy fights, and for him to be one of the greatest to ever lace them up. So you already know, man. Subscribe to the channel, the YouTube channel, Punch Drunk Boxing. Subscribe to all my social media platform. And subscribe to the YouTube especially and become a member, because we're giving out 30K giveaway by April 20th. If we reach 50K subscribers, we got 2.5K left to reach 50K. If we could get it at least by Cinco de Mayo, a lucky winner, a lucky subscriber is going to get 10K. A lucky member, become a member, you're going to get 20K. You know what I'm saying? So you got a better chance in earning 20K if you become a member to Punch Drunk Boxing, the YouTube channel. So become a member, subscribe to the channel, follow this podcast and all the social media and all the platforms from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, whatever, man. Just follow the support the channel, support the podcast, support the social media platforms, and we're on to the next. God first, everything second. 5 plus of 5 equals true champions. Love you. God bless, and on to the next.